and let's go to the word. I stopped on, we are going deep in the subject of the spirit of mammon, so already we have covered a lot, and what is mammon and all those stuff, and how two revelations about mammon, and we had ended, almost ended, there is one point I will cover and go to the next subject, almost ended on how to treat or handle mammon, because believer are to, Jesus says, if you are not faithful with unrighteous money, who will commit to you the true riches of heaven? So he wants us and he teaches us how to handle mammon, how to handle money. And I told you the secret or the revelation to treat mammon or to handle mammon is godliness with contentment, which Apostle Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But I took the complete explanation from the life of Abraham at every step. In the beginning, he was immature. He was not content. So he went to Egypt and to borrowed money, borrowed not money, but wealth from Egypt. But after that, he realized and he showed contentment. In every stage of his life, he showed contentment. When it came to the separation, he said to the Lot, if you go to the right, I will go to the left. I have no desire whatsoever for any property on the world to acquire. That is what he was saying. So we saw the contentment in Abraham. No wonder he got rich in the Lord. And he was one of the most powerful men that kings feared. That was contentment. And then another example of contentment is what we see in Apostle Paul's life. I don't have time to go in detail, but in a scripture, in a part of the scripture, he writes about his life. Let's look at that, and then we will go to the next subject of the sermon of the spirit of mammon. But let's look at something that he writes about himself in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Verse number 12. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 12. This is the secret of how godly men treat mammon. He says, verse number 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Hallelujah. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So he is saying there were times that I had a lot, and I know how to be happy with that, but there were times I did not had, but I am even satisfied and contented in that. So I have learned to live every situation in the presence of God and giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. And then the words comes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Do we see that? So what I want to show you, that a godly man becomes rich, but the thing is, he's not having a desire to get rich. God makes him rich, and he's happy about that. He's happy when God blesses him with a lot of things. And then even if God takes away from him and allows him to be in lack in some season, a godly man is okay with that. Like Job, you see the characteristics of a godly man. You see and study the characteristics of this Abraham, even Paul, and even Job. What did Job say? God has given, he took it away, but blessed be his name. Once God gave me, I was happy. Now God took it away. I will not complain. I will not say anything against God. Because the Spirit of God in him gave him assurance that God is with him. So the greatest treasure for a godly man is not the riches of the world, though he gets the mammon, though God gives him riches. But the greatest treasure for a godly man is the presence of God. So in whatever situation, he trains himself to live in the presence of God. Hallelujah. So that is the context of the words we use. I can do all things through Christ. That means I can live in every kind of situation, every kind of place, every kind of environment God places me in. As long as I am in the will of God, I am satisfied. I am contented. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia. Now look at Paul's ministry. There are some internal problems of his ministry that he kept to himself. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel that I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. He's saying something there. So Apostle Paul was an apostle who will never lay a burden like today's pastors, that you have to, and some of the pastors I am known, they without telling the family, they go to the person's house if the tithes do not come. They go to the person's house without telling the person. And they say, why did you not? And they exploit people and all those stuff. But any which ways, but Apostle Paul was a person who did not exploit people. He depended on God. But he says that you, Church of Philippians, you recognize the need of finances. Other churches did not talk about it. But when I came to you, you recognize the need of finances. And then he says, not that I want the gift, you gave the gift, God allowed, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That means he is saying, you gave for my necessities, you gave for my needs, and I received it with gladness, because I know when you gave, there was a fruit that you bore for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you became fruitful because you came to understand to give. Okay, then he says, verse number 18. I am taking you to a verse which we all quote. That's why I'm going there. Verse number 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, a acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So the church of Philippians were different from other churches. They cared about Apostle Paul, about his necessities and about his ministry work. Okay. And they continue to send aid and gifts and supplies for him. And then he says, Apostle Paul says, verse number 19, and my God. So this is something that Apostle Paul's life lays claim of, this verse. He says, my God whom I serve, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So what he's saying, my God, he's laying claim on his father's account. That's why he's saying, my God shall start to give you now. My God shall start to supply you now. Okay, any which ways, I'm going there to show you the context of the scriptures that we quote. My God shall supply all your needs. So it's about sowing, it's about giving into a ministry, into a priest's life who serves in the kingdom of God. And then through that, the bank account of heaven opens up and starts to supply you as per the riches. And we are going to see the riches of God. We are going to see the way a believer becomes prosperous. Are we together now? Hallelujah. So that is something to learn from Apostle Paul's life, how he did ministry, and to study how I need to do ministry. I go and study again and again how Apostle Paul did ministry, how Jesus did ministry. So I try to do ministry exactly as per the patterns of the scriptures. Any which ways, let's go and let's see the next subject. The next subject is the making of a prosperous believer. Hallelujah. The making of a prosperous believer. Some people were afraid when I started to take the spirit of mammon. They said, oh, you know, spirit of mammon is so dangerous. Maybe we have to stay poor. No. Mammon shall come to you. That is what God will make you and set you up in a position where mammon will start to come to you. God does not want his children to be beggar, but there is a way to get prosperous. That is a way that God has ordained for believers to become rich. Hallelujah. Proverbs, before going into that, read with me Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 22. The main characteristic of godly prosperity. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 22. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse number 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. That no sorrow I take as no condition or no yokes upon you. When God makes you rich, he just makes you rich. No condition or no yokes. So there are two systems that can make you rich. Most of the people that are rich and that become rich, more than 80% of people become rich by the mammon system. So that is a different way altogether and different characteristic when a person gets rich by the mammon system. But there is a way where God makes a person rich, and that revelation is hidden in the scripture. I will start to teach you tonight about that. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 60. Isaiah chapter number 60. And first of all, we will read verse number 5. We will read Isaiah chapter number 60, verse number 5. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy because. Why you shall become radiant and your heart will swell with joy? Why? Because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Hallelujah. Now, before we go ahead, can you make a declaration saying, the abundance of the sea shall be turned to me, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to me? Can you make that declaration?
Okay.
The abundance of the sea shall be turned to
The
me.
abundance of the sea shall be converted unto me, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto me.
Hallelujah. Okay, yeah, that's a different version, but the KJV, NKJV says the wealth of the gender, that is the mammon. No. Stay with me. That is not a greedy verse. That is not a greedy verse. And that verse also does not mean that we start calling in money from people. No. It shall come to you without you calling it. Don't start praying, calling money. No. Let's see that context. Hallelujah. That person is going to give me this. That office is going. Don't start calling those money. It shall. Don't say. Just sit on your chair in the presence of God. You will start seeing coming to you. That is what it means. It will come to you. You don't even have to pray. It will come to you. You don't even have to fast. It will come to you. There is a revelation. There is a journey that you need to make and go to a point where it will start coming to you. Hallelujah. Okay. Stay with me. Now, to understand that verse, we have to go back to the chapter and see the context of what will happen that these things are coming to us. Let's start from verse number one. That is where we understand why it will come to us. Isaiah chapter number 60, verse number 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and the glory will be seen upon you. Now, stop there. Stop there. Stop there. So, when in a dark, what is the meaning of darkness? I took a sermon long time back. I explained the meaning of darkness. Darkness is a place, any place. It can be a physical place, it can be your heart, it can be your life. Any place where the owner of the place does not allows God to intervene is darkness. Hallelujah. So when the world is becoming so wicked that it is hating God and does not allows God in that wicked world, with all those attacks on you become a vessel to receive the light of God and live in the light of God. Okay? When you become that, the glory of the Lord, when you make a difference through your character, through your behavior, through your mindset, you make a difference. You make a difference that through the darkness, God can see one vessel upon whom he can intervene. He can go in his life. He can go in that person's life. And God is so free that I can do whatever I want to do with this person, because this person is completely open to me. So this person is full of light. That is the meaning of the glory of the Lord shining upon you in gross darkness, where no one gives intervention to you, permission to God, for intervene, but you are a vessel completely open to God. And God can do, God is like, this son of mine or this daughter of mine, I can do whatever I want with this son, with this daughter. I can place him wherever I want and he will not complain, because my glory shines upon him. I can do what I can, break him, I can bring situations, but he will not come against me. He will go through it. My glory will shine upon such people. It's a journey. It's not one time that one night the glory came and shine upon you. Oh, the glory came and shine upon me and the wealth will come to me. No. It's a life journey. And I am going to explain that life journey through the life and rising of Joseph. Okay, stay with me. So that is what it's saying. Deep darkness covers the earth, but the Lord will arise over you. His glory will shine, will be seen upon you. Verse number 3. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. What kind of rising? Rising in righteousness, rising in your integrity, rising in holiness. Hallelujah. If you turn your eyes and look at the world, you will see many people rising, but all of them are rising in unrighteousness. But you cannot spot anyone rises through righteousness, through holiness, through integrity, through non-compromising. Have you seen anyone rising like that? You shall rise like that in Jesus' mighty name. And when you start to rise like that, you shall attract the Gentiles. You shall attract the kings. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising, and then lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now you understand the context. When you rise with righteousness, when you rise with the word of God, by keeping whatever is happening in your life, but you hold fast to the integrity of the word of God, you don't compromise, and there is a time of your life you have been persecuted, you have been put in pits by people, you have been stamped over, but you stay with the word, and then comes a time in your life when you rise with the same things that people persecuted you, and when you rise and God puts you in a position that mammon comes and submits to you. Mammon starts to come and submit to you. The wealth that is there in the king's account, they cannot use it. They come and bring it to you. You don't have to tell that, oh, you need to give me. No. They will automatically come to you when you go to that level. Hallelujah. So the context of this scripture is the meaning that mammon shall bow down to the glory of God on you and come to you. Mammon shall bow down to the glory of God on you and shall come to you. Hallelujah. Now, to understand that, we will go to the prosperity and rising of Joseph. But before going to the scripture, I want to give you 4 characteristics of a believer who is made rich by God. 4 characteristics of a believer who is made rich by God. The first is, prosperity comes to you and you don't go behind becoming rich and prosperous. That is the first characteristic of a rich believer. Mammon comes to you, prosperity comes to you, and you don't go behind richness, money, and prosperity. Are we together? 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Verse number 9. Verse number 9, 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Those who desire. So a godly man's desire should not to become rich in the things of the world. But when you live in the presence of God, you will automatically see when you go to that position, richness coming to you. Richness is coming to you, but you will see that man is crucified to the richness or to the money or to the mammon that is coming to him. Are we together? We see that in Abraham's life, Apostle Paul's life. That is the richness of God. It shall come to you. You shall not run behind it. What does Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall follow you. So you don't think about all things following you. You think about the kingdom of God and the righteousness. You continue to serve God. And there will come a time where things will start to follow you. You are telling, no, don't come to me, but they will still come to you and give to you. They will still come to you and fill you. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Prosperity comes to you. And you don't go behind prosperity or money or riches. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul says here, those who desire to become rich fall into temptation. So he's not saying you cannot become rich. But if your life agenda is to become a rich pastor, you will serve mammon. Your life agenda should be serve God selflessly. And then you tell God, when you go midway with God and you really work with God, you say, you know what? Lord, it's okay even if I don't get anything in this world. I just want you. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth I desire beside you. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you. I'm teaching you how to be a rich believer. Rich believer. I am balancing the doctrine. There is one extreme which where people say, oh, no, believers cannot be rich. There is other extreme where they run after mammon. But there is a balance in between. Where it's not that God will not make you rich, but he wants to make you rich, but at the same time, he will kill you towards the money, and then he will make you rich. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is the first characteristic. And Apostle Paul says, those who desire to be rich. Now, as a mission worker, as working in the fields and going to many churches, most of the churches I go, every church I go, there is at least one person in the church, a believer, who will throw investment schemes at you. I have seen, I don't know if you have experienced that. That is one church I became a part of. And I started to, this guy used to come and say, brother, you are new to the church. Yes, I praise the Lord. The first thing he said, do you want to invest? Do you want to get rich? I have a scheme. Another church I went, there is at least one person who will come up to you and tell you about getting rich, tell you about investment schemes. And I have seen so many, I never invested. I never listened to them. I have seen, I used to go to this church. I was a part of that church in my younger days. The first church in my younger days, I was a leader there. And the pastor also was training me because he wanted to ordain me as a leader. He was training me and telling me, you know, you are 20 now. So you start, you are earning a good salary. Start investing in this scheme, that scheme, this scheme. You can buy property. You can buy this. By 26, you will become rich, get married, have children. By 29, you will have your own house or maybe on another house, rental house, and this and that and this and that. Listening to him, I invested in two schemes, but I closed those schemes because that was not God's ways. Oh, why are these balloons coming here? Okay, I invested in these schemes, but I closed those schemes after 1 or 2 years. But the other people in the church, I realized that there was a leadership group of 5 people. I was included there. All of them were married and elder than me in age. But I then understood that all these leaders invested in some properties far away as per the pastor's instruction, and they were to get a very good land on which they can build their big house, like a farmhouse or something. But they never got it. Even after 10 years, they all lost their money in that investment scheme. So wherever you go, I have seen I have seen even pastors, I have seen one person at least who will be there in the church who will tell you, why don't you invest? Come on, save, you know, increase your money, multiply your money, this and that. And they talk like investment brokers in the church. They talk like they talk like this inspirational speakers who will increase your money. You know, many financial YouTubers and Instagrammers who will tell about increasing your money. There are those advisors in the church. Get rid of them, because the Bible says those who desire to get rich fall into various temptation. I'm not saying don't invest in all those stuff. You can invest if the Holy ask the Holy Spirit and invest here and there. But don't be in a hunger of I have $1,000. How to multiply it in just a span of 10 months? You know, how to multiply it in $200, $200,000 in just a span of 10 months. You want to increase your money, save your money. And I've seen people doing that. And in doing that, they don't feed their family properly. The wife is crying to them and saying, oh, you know, from 5 years, I did not bought new clothes. At least this Christmas, buy me clothes. No, I don't have money. You have money. Take the money and buy your children some things, buy your wife some things. But you are so engrossed in gathering. I'm telling you, moth will eat that finance. I'm telling you, those things that you are gathering without the will of the Lord and in your greed, moth will eat it, rust will destroy it, thieves will come in and steal. Those who desire to get rich. But a believer, a true believer who gets rich, he was not trying to get rich, but mammon started to come after him, and mammon started to submit to him, I mean bow down to him, because he was seeking the kingdom of God. He's tried and tested by God himself, and God has killed him towards mammon, and now mammon is starting to come towards him. Do we understand that? Do those who desire to become rich fall into temptation and snares and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to make a decision, a declaration that I don't have a desire to be rich in the world. I don't have a desire, but I have a desire to walk with God. Hallelujah. Even as you walk with God, you will become rich by time when you are tried and tested. Point number two, or characteristic number two of a rich believer. What you have got, the believer, I'm talking to you, what you have got to offer the world through the wisdom and anointing of God, mammon does not have it. What you have got to offer the world by the wisdom and anointing of God, mammon cannot offer that. Okay? Do you understand that? When you walk with God and go deep in his wisdom, understand his revelation, the solutions you got to offer the world, the solutions that you will have to offer kings, the solutions that you will have to offer governments, mammon cannot even think about those solutions. That is what happened with Joseph. That was the reason of his rising. Okay? Hallelujah. Egypt had a lot of wealth, by the way. Egypt that time was the most richest country, most powerful country on the face of the earth during the time of Joseph. Yet Pharaoh could not understand what God was going to do. Pharaoh could not interpret the dream. And even if the dream was interpreted, Pharaoh did not know how to handle the situation. That mystery only lied with the man Joseph, who no one knew in the prison. Hallelujah. Don't underestimate God's anointing upon your life, beloved. Don't underestimate the wisdom that you have learned from God. Overnight, you can become and sit on the seat of a prime minister. That is what God's wisdom, that is what the wisdom of God can do for you. Don't underestimate that when the time of God comes. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what Joseph had to offer Egypt and to save Egypt? Mammon, the God Mammon only has fame and money and wealth to offer. the government. Apart from that, he cannot interpret mysteries. He cannot interpret the happenings of what God does on the face of the earth. That lies with the prophets of God. And when the prophets of God, Joseph, Daniel, operate in that wisdom, that God Mammon had to bow down to them. Are we understanding? So that is how a Mammon comes to a believer. Mammon bows down. Mammon says, I am sorry, I cannot, I need that wisdom from you. I need that wisdom from you for Egypt to survive. So I submit to you and I become your slave. That is how Mammon comes to a believer. Hallelujah. Now, are we understanding? What you got to offer the world through the wisdom and anointing of God, Mammon does not have it. Mammon does not have it. And so Mammon has to submit to you. Are we together? Point number three. Characteristic number three. True prosperity or true riches are without any contracts and conditions from Mammon, without any selling of your soul and yokes placed upon you. Okay, we'll come to that again. Just write it down. I will come to those explanation in detail after we have went to Joseph. True riches are without any contracts and conditions from Mammon, without any selling of your soul and yokes placed on you. Yokes placed on you. Point number four. A man prospers in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the earth with his soul saved. A man prospers in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the earth with his soul being saved. These are the four characteristics of a believer becoming rich. All right, I will come to the explanation afterwards, but let us jump to Genesis chapter number 41 and let's see the prosperity and rising of Joseph. It has been 2 years where God told me a prophetic word, and he told me the rising of Joseph will be the prophetic rising for many of my children in this time and season. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. The rising of Joseph will be the prophetic rising for many of my children. And we need to learn the pattern of Joseph. Are we together? Hallelujah. And then I think a year back or many months back, I woke up. I woke up with a voice, audible voice, loud and clear. And the voice told me, you are the solution to the crisis that is coming in Egypt. You are the solution to the crisis of Egypt. You are the solution to the crisis of Egypt. And then I understood it's Joseph. It's the anointing of Joseph. It's the wisdom, dream interpretation that he carried. And I don't underestimate the word of God. If God has said it, I know it will happen. Hallelujah. In this ministry, many will rise like Joseph rose. If you want to rise, hallelujah. If you want to rise like Joseph rose, you also go through the things that Joseph went through. And if you have the capacity to still worship God and still be loyal to God and not complain, because I did not see my Bible talking about Joseph complained and became frustrated. All that he went through, he never got frustrated and complained. If you have that capacity, you will also rise like Joseph rose in Jesus' mighty name. And when you rise like Joseph, God even told me that this time and season of ministry is not about having a congregation, but it is to become the solution to the crisis that is coming to the world. Hallelujah. Joseph did not have a congregation, you see, but he fed the world. He was the solution to the world during crisis and famine. Elijah did not have a congregation. Elisha did not have a congregation. They walk alone with God. They had certain assignments and not congregation. They did not have mega churches. That is how the ministry will be. And God is tuning many servants of God. Some of them, few of them may be in tune with him, but most of them have lost track of how the tide is changing. And if you are changing with the tide, you will enjoy. If you are a surfer, you know surfer, They use the tides to enjoy. So if you are a surfer, you will enjoy the turn of the tides. If you are not a surfer or a swimmer, the tides will drown you. The season, the way seasons are changing. Hallelujah. The rising of Joseph. The rising of Joseph is how a believer will rise. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 41. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter number 41. Verse number 37. Genesis chapter number 41, verse number 37. I don't have time, so I have directly jumped to verse 37, okay? So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. What advice? He interpreted the dreams, the dream of the fatted calf, the fatted calves and the lean cows, and then the fruits. And then he explained how to handle it. 7 years of famine and 7 years, 7 years of abundance followed with 7 years of famine. No rich man, no mammon could interpret it, but Joseph had the revelation. Don't underestimate. You should learn to grow in the revelations of God. The revelations of God is more richer than the wealth of the richest man on the earth, because one day you will realize what the revelation of God can do. The revelation that you have from the word of God, the revelation, the gift that you carry, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Oh God, it's more, you cannot even put a value. It's so expensive. The richest man even cannot buy that revelation from you. God through his mercy can give, and then mammon will submit to you. So the advice, so what he had, all the mammon and all those stuff that Egypt had could not bring a solution. Joseph had the solution because on him was the spirit of God. And he walked with God. Verse number 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom is the spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Mammon is submitting to Joseph. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without your consent, no man may lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paniah and gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to me. Listen to me. If you will study the things that were given under the control of Joseph on a large scale, were the same things that Joseph learned through his journey, were the same things that Joseph learned through his journey. First of all, leadership. As a leader, keeping an eye over the employees. He learned it in the father's house because the father gave him the responsibility of keeping an eye on the brothers who were shearing the sheep. So keep an eye on them if they are doing the job properly. The second thing, Pharaoh made him the overseer and the head of all his household. All his tasks that he learned in Potiphar's house. That he learned in Potiphar's house because he was the head of all the things, all the tasks that were there in Potiphar's household. Potiphar's household was big, so He was the overseer. He was the supervisor over all the stuff of Potiphar. Then when he went to the prison, the jailer assigned him over as a caretaker to look after the prisoners. Hallelujah. So all that you are going through on maybe on a small scale, you can see that God is training you on the smaller scale to put you in the bigger picture afterwards if you perform those things faithfully. But the problem of believers is suddenly they want big things. You know, at the first itself, they want big things. So if they get small, they will leave it. Hallelujah. God may place you as a worshiper in a small group because he wants you to worship afterwards in a crusade. But you are not even faithful there. You lose on what God is trying to make out of you. God, if you, God has ordained you to preach to the nation, God will make you preach in a small group first. But if you are not faithful in that, who will take you? God cannot take you to the bigger picture. Joseph was faithful in every level. Joseph was faithful in everything that resulted in his rising. That resulted, God said, okay, he's ready now. And then God put him in the bigger picture. So my question to you is, was Joseph trying to become rich? No. Did Joseph know? He had a glimpse of the vision. Now, listen to me. Once I went, I decided some days and I said, I will spend those days with the Lord. And I went to a place, booked a room, and I said, I will spend this time fasting and praying. So the first day, even as I entered the room, I freshened up and I went, there was a small kind of a balcony kind of, okay? And I went there to the balcony. And down there were farmers. They were taking up sheaves, big sheaves, and taking it to the field or something. There were sheaves kept there. So I was looking at that. When I was looking at that, the Holy Spirit came, started to speak to me. He said, what do you see? I said, I see they are picking up sheaves. And then he said to me, do you remember anything from the scripture? I said, yes, I remember the vision of Joseph, that the sheaves of the brothers bow down to the sheave of Joseph. That is what I remember. And then he told to me, do you know Joseph, after that vision, only thought that only the family is going to bow down to him and going to come in need of him. Little did he know that nations were going to bow down to him, but Joseph did not knew that. He only thought that the family is going to bow down to him. The family is going to come to him. That is what he interpreted his visions as. Are you understanding? And the Holy Spirit told me he did not know that God was showing him actually the nations were going to come to him and bow down to him. Hallelujah. So while Joseph was on the journey, he was not journeying and being faithful to God and not complaining because he thought that that is going to happen. He only thought that the family will be restored. The family will come back. The family will bow down. That also happened. But little did he know that the nations will bow down to him. So he did not So that is what, on the first day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me on that day. So I started to spend my days with the Lord praying and fasting. And by the second or third day, I became so dry. I don't know what was happening. There were spirits, physical beings, and all those stuffs I saw. And I became so dry in the spirit. I was fasting and praying, but I was feeling so dry. So on the third day, at the time of the night, I scarcely heard a leading of the spirit. Then I was not sure. And the voice was calling me again to the balcony at the time of the night. But I was scared to go. It was all dark and all those stuff. I was scared to go. But however, I took myself and I went to the door. And I opened the door. And a voice spoke to me and said, what do you see? What do you hear? And I was trying to hear the physical noise. So somewhere down the mountains, they were playing loud music. So I said, I think I hear the loud music. After that voice stopped speaking to me. So I went back again, praying. So I slept for some time. Again in the morning, I got up. I got up and I started to pray. I started to pray and I started to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm feeling so dry and all those stuff. But then the Lord told me, go to the balcony again. So I went to that balcony, that open area. And the Lord told me, what do you hear? This time, the Holy Spirit in me made me hear the winds and the noise and the chirping of the birds that are there in the sky. So I said to the Lord, I hear that noise of the sky. And then the Lord told me, look to the sky. And he told me, you see how the skies cover the earth? That is how I have chosen you, that my influence through you shall cover the earth. You shall minister to the nation. And when I heard that, I broke down on the ground there and I started to cry for 2 hours. I broke down. And then I understood that on the first day, the Lord was setting the theme for my fasting and praying. He was trying to show me that the things that we see are not the things that God sees. The plans that we have for us are not the plans that God has. It's much bigger. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's much bigger. I'm not exalting myself. I did not even know. But those are the words of God. Joseph did not. That's what I'm trying to show you from the scripture. Joseph did not even know the things, the place God will place. But sometimes we just have to be, I am going to be faithful, even though I don't know where I am going. And at times in my life, I don't know still where I am going, but I know I am with God. I have received promises from him, and those words will not fail. Hallelujah. So at times you feel you don't know where you are going. You are in lack sometimes. You don't have enough sometimes, but you have to just follow and walk with him in every situation. Your rising shall come in Jesus' mighty name. Be faithful. You don't even know. You might have a plan to open a local church. Ha ha ha. You have not known what God has for you. You don't know until you start to seek him diligently. You start to seek him diligently. That was the second time. After I saw, I cried until afternoon, because I felt the unworthiness and I felt the worthiness of God. I felt who am I that he is speaking such words to me? That's why I cried. Who am I that he's speaking such big things to me? Am I even worthy? Hallelujah. But he has spoken. That means he thinks I am worthy. He has made me worthy. That's why I cried until afternoon. Oh God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then after crying and everything was done and my room was filled with fire. And then I started to dance. When I started to dance, a group of birds that I have never seen came in front of my balcony in the sky. And they started to sing literally with me. So they were singing, and I know God sent those birds there. They were singing with me. They were rejoicing with me. I was alone there. That place became heaven for me. And they were singing with me. I'm telling you, literally, I never saw those birds. And after 1 hour, this nonsense flesh, I thought, I think I need to make a video. When I grabbed my phone, they went away. God does not want me to record those things. I said, oh God, why did I do that? They went away. When I grabbed my phone after some minutes to record the video of that, they went away. But I never saw those birds singing like that. So after all those things, I opened my Bible. I said, and then I had meetings. This Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I said, I want to prepare sermons. I said, what should I speak? And then God took me to the scripture after all these things. And I was so happy. God took me to the scripture. And this is what I was hearing from God on the third day, but I ignored it. I thought a demon is speaking to me. And the voice was speaking to me is break your fast. I said, no, it's a demon. Because I decided I will fast for 7 days. so I thought it's a demon. So I said, God, I want to prepare a sermon and all those stuff. And then God told me to go to the scripture in the book of Acts. And he took me to the scripture where Peter was waiting for food. Okay. And then while he was waiting for food, he was in a trance. He was in the spirit. Okay. And a big sheet was laid down to him, and there were unclean animals. And the voice came, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. He said, no, 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 I have never eaten any unclean thing. Okay. And again, the sheet came and said, Peter, rise up, kill. No, I have not eaten any unclean thing. Again, the sheet came and said, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. I said, Lord, that's a good scripture. But the Lord told me, that is what I am telling you. Rise up, kill and eat. Then I understood the law of the altar. When God told me to go and eat meat, I understood. And every time, and it is a law of the altar. When you receive something from God, you rise up and break the fast. You are not a tread. I understood so many things that I did not know when I started to seek the Lord. Earlier, I would, you know, people who decide, I am going 40 days, I am going 21 days. Who told you to do that? The Lord should give you the leading. Then I understood how to fast. I decided 7 days, but on the third day, he was speaking to me. I did not understand. On the fourth day, he made me break the fast. I understood, even as I've received from the Lord, I should eat at his altar. So I brought chicken and I ate there and I broke my fast. I understood it's not about activities and how long we can starve ourselves. I understood it's all about his mysteries that we do not know. Any which ways, I am just led to give you that testimony. I have many experiences like that with the Lord that I really cherish. Whenever I am down, I just cherish the way the Lord spoke to me. Go back and see how the Lord, the promises of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So a godly man never knows sometimes where he is going. His desire is not to be rich. My first characteristic I'm talking about. His desire is just to seek the Lord. And while in the process, you will see suddenly you rise. And mammon coming to you. And mammon, when mammon comes to you, that money, it cannot go away. It will stay with you and you will increase in that finances. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding the rising of Joseph? So he was just in the prison. He did not know what is happening. He also tried to find recommendation from the chief wine bearer. He did not recommend, and all those stuff happened. Betrayals happened, but he was still there. He did not know what is happening in his life. My family dumped me. I was in the pit. This Potiphar's wife, nonsense. She was so seducing, but she accused me of rape. I get into the prison. I help people. So many things happening in his life. But he's still there. Be there in the presence of God. Because there is a prophetic rising of Joseph coming in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I am trying to teach you. Because prosperity preachers have poisoned the church, I'm telling you, with the wrong doctrine. What they are saying is God's will to make a believer rich? Yes, it is. But the way they talk about prosperity is completely wrong. It's not a believer's desire to get rich. They get so engrossed in God, and sometimes they don't even know where they are going. But I'm telling you, the time comes when actually you are climbing up a spiritual ladder where mammon will submit to you. The riches of Egypt came to him. The best cloth of Egypt came to him. Linen, ring. Joseph did not have money to buy those things. He did not save money to buy those things. It just came to him because he operated in the spiritual realms. Hallelujah. 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 It just came to him. You will see the same in Daniel's life. He was just working and things came to him. Okay? Mammon will come to you. Now do you understand? The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you in the name of Jesus. Now do you understand that scripture? It's not about going in early morning prayer, 4 o'clock, and saying, I call in my Lamborghini. I call in my $200,000. I call in this. I call in money. I'm telling you, I am so upset with this believer's prayer. They wake up 4 in the morning, early morning prayers, they say, and they call in money. You are foolish. You are calling in demons to bring money. That is not how it works. You walk with God. You forget about mammon. You forget about babe. Just walk with God. And the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. Now do you understand Isaiah 60? When in gross darkness, you will be a candidate of God's glory. The kings will come to the brightness of the rising. Hallelujah. Ministry is not about only establishing a church, ministering to a congregation, having a large number of people. Ministry is about ministering to the nations. I will ask of you the nations, O Lord. Hallelujah. It's ministering to kings and queens and making them bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ in you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's breaking the stubbornness of principalities and showing them the power, manifested wisdom of God. Hallelujah. That is ministry. That is ministry in these times and seasons. Point number two, I told you what you have to offer the world through the wisdom and anointing of God. Mammon does not have it. I have already explained. We saw Joseph offering that. Let's go to the point number three. Point number three is true prosperity are without. Now let me explain this to you. True prosperity are without any contracts and conditions from mammon, without any selling of your soul, without any yokes placed on you. That is true prosperity. So Pharaoh gave the signet ring, the authority, the money, you know, the mammon and the clock and all those stuff to him, to Joseph. Were there any conditions attached? No condition. He had to give it to Joseph because Joseph is the only person who could bring help for Egypt. That's why he had to give it to Joseph. So, then under Joseph's authority, he had to give it to Joseph. That is how it is when you become prosperous by God's hand. Okay? Mammon will not come telling you, I will give you this, but in return, you have to give me this. That is fast prosperity. You have to sell your soul. That is how many pastors become rich, because they cannot wait for God. Who will follow the process of God? They make a deal with mammon and they become rich. And you think, oh, this pastor's church is big and this pastor's church is prosperous, no lack of money, because it's a mammonic system set up, because the mammon has not come to him. He has went to mammon. And when you go to mammon, mammon will say, I will give you, no problem, I will give you. But you have to stay under my yoke. You have to stay under my authority. There will be contracts made. There will be conditions made. That's why Proverbs chapter number 10 verse 22 says that the blessings of God makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. Do you understand that scripture now? But when people become rich by mammon, there is a lot of conditions attached to it. There is a lot of conditions attached to it. And you might believe it or not, many of the preachers you see in the forefront, they have got rich by mammon. They did not get rich. There is not a track record they have of faithfulness with God. One of the prophets, so-called prophets, not the prophet of God, who passed away in Nigeria, there was not even a track record of him being born again. He says, I came out as a prophet from my mother's womb. There is no born again experience whatsoever. I am a specially chosen child. And he had a lot of money, a lot of wealth. Where did it come from? It came from mammon. A person who becomes rich by God, he will have a track record like Joseph, going from the pit to the slavery, to the prison. They will have track record. We did not came out of blues. I did not came out of the blues and became an apostle. No. I have a track record. We have a track record. Tomorrow, if God willing, or if God, whatever is the will of God, I will rise. I have a track record of the wilderness, of faithfulness. But there are prophets who don't have a track record. They suddenly became prophets. They suddenly became big. They suddenly become rich. Their prosperity came with condition. Their soul is in a prison. Their prosperity came through trading. Because the mnemonic system is all about trading. I will come to the next point where I will show you God's system and mnemonic system. The mammon system, are both of them are evangelical system. Their main intention is to take souls. Both the systems. And then I will show you the way they win souls. Mammon wins soul through contract, through trading. Do you know what was the sin of Lucifer that made him fall? Yes, it was pride. But when you read Ezekiel 28, verse 12 onwards, you will see that God says that because of the abundance of your trading, you were filled with violence. That's why you were cast down. What is trading? Lucifer was mammon. He wants to give people and take their souls. Give people, take something from them. Give people and place conditions on them. But when you become rich in God, no strings attached, no yokes on you. Hallelujah. The mammon is submitted to you. And the people who come, there is no yokes attached. Hallelujah. People of God, are we there? Can you shout out amen before we go?
Amen.
The prosperity of a believer. Amen. The way the believer gets rich.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The way the believer gets rich. Yes, true prosperity. Are without any contracts and conditions from mammon. Yes. Without any selling of your soul and yokes placed on you. 3 John. Let's read a verse. 3 John chapter number 1. Verse number 2. 3 John chapter number 1. Yeah, there is only one chapter there. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That is godly prosperity. That brings me to the next point. That a believer prospers by keeping his soul saved. Yes. Yes. Prosperity that comes through mammon is by losing of your soul. That's why Jesus says in Mark chapter number 8 verse 36, what does it profit a man? If he gains the whole world, becomes the richest man maybe, gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul, gives up his soul. Hallelujah. You know, a disclaimer. Maybe you were doing or not doing, but it's good to tell you and keep you alerted about it. There are many testimonies so-called coming on the YouTube and Instagram saying, I was an ex-Satanist, I was an ex-witch, but now I accepted Jesus. I was an ex-satanic priest, I was in this occultic group, I was a Freemason and all those stuff. Now I came to Christ. And then they come up there and start to, I am exposing what we used to do in the Freemason, what we used to do in the satanic church and all those stuff. Be very discerning. Most of them are false. Most of them are deceptive. The things they say are all false. One of the person who came up, he's an old man, a fat guy who comes and says things. And his testimony became very famous. You know what he said? You know what he said? He said he was the high priest in one of the most occultic, you know, high satanic societies. And he says that there is nothing called as selling your soul to Satan. And then he quotes a scripture from Ezekiel saying, you know, a scripture from Ezekiel, I don't remember, but there is a scripture in Ezekiel saying, all souls belong to me. God says, all souls belong to me. So if all souls are with God, you cannot sell your soul to Satan. So what Satan does it is he tells a lie, because the Bible says he is a liar. He tells a lie that he's taking. He cannot take your soul. That is so, so false. Where the Jesus himself says, what does it profit a man who gains the whole world yet for? So a man can forfeit his soul. Where? To hell, to Satan. And then this guy, so-called ex-Satan, is now becoming a believer and a preacher, saying all those nonsense. What he is trying to say is, he is trying to deceive the believers. He's trying to deceive believers. Trying to tell them, whatever you do, your soul will be with God. Even if you can go to mammon and take riches. Your soul, he will not take your soul. At the deathbed, you can repent and just get right with God and go to heaven. That does not happen. It's not very easy for people who have consciously sold their soul to Satan to repent on their deathbed, because their soul is in a cage. Even their decisions are locked now. It's not so easy to repent on the deathbed. I'm telling you that. It's not so easy. If anyone tells you, you can do whatever you want in your life, but when you are on your deathbed, you can just repent and go to heaven. I am telling you, you don't even know you can die and you don't have a chance to repent. Are you understanding, people of God? Mammon is real. These things I am teaching you is real. People have made deals. Some of the prosperous people, worldly people, Christian preachers are rich by this mammon, by this God, because they wanted to become rich, and that's why they made a deal with mammon. But we, the remnant, we don't want to become rich in the world. We want to follow God, and we want to see mammon bowing down to us in Jesus' mighty name. We want to see mammon bowing down to us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Oh God, hallelujah. So a believer, that brings me to the fourth characteristic. A believer, a true believer, prospers in the kingdom of God and even in the kingdom of the earth by his soul kept saved with God. By his soul kept saved with God. Hallelujah. So this is how a believer becomes rich. Okay. I will stop here. I will continue on mammon because still there is something to cover, I believe. What I want to cover next time is the two systems. And both the systems are evangelical systems. They want to have souls. Okay? And I will show you how mammon wins souls. I will show you how God wins souls. Let us end there. But I want to tell you that God has a plan for you. Beloved, God has a plan for you. And that plan is much bigger than what you think about. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I decree and declare, Lord, that those who will be faithful and who are faithful to you, the prophetic rising of Joseph is coming in their life in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Rabalo tokora zalta rabala khatara bando. Jafrala tiandra lafandrial zarafala kotorobo. Oh Lord, you raise up a breed that has no greed for the things of the world, O Lord. No, O Lord, raise up a breed of the Spirit, O Lord, Father. Raise up a breed of the Spirit, Lord, a breed of Joseph, O Father, who are faithful in whatever you place them, O Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm telling you, maybe some of you are going through a phase in your life where you don't even know where you are, what will happen. One thing you need to do, give thanks in all circumstances. Hallelujah. Pray always, rejoice always. Be faithful, be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to the things of God. Because God is testing you. He will make sure that your heart is for Jesus. His heart is for God. He will make sure that there is no one in your heart apart from He Himself. Hallelujah. And when He has tried and tested you and He has killed you and you become more and more crucified, you will see, hallelujah, God blessing you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I expose the techniques and the wiles of mammon in Jesus' name, Lord. Through the hearing of this word, raise up a generation who will not bow down to mammon, O Lord Father, will not bow down to mammon, O Lord Father, but mammon will bow down to them in Jesus' name. Mammon is not too powerful for a believer who is filled with the word of God and walks in the ways of God. Mammon is not too powerful for you, beloved. Hallelujah. Once you have that perspective about mammon and money, you will walk in the true riches of Christ. You will walk in power and authority. You will walk as a giver and not a borrower. You will give, you will lend, you will feed the nations. Oh, hallelujah. Like Joseph, you will feed 5,000 families will be nothing for you. Like Jesus fed 5,000 families. He had nothing in his bank. He had no bank account whatsoever and no money in his account. He lay hold of the claim on his father's account. Hallelujah. Because he knows there is a system that is more richer than the system of mammon. Hallelujah. My God is is more rich than mammon, I'm telling you. And the children of God are more richer than the children of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Rabalo tiarabana kadarabanse derebe. Rabo lakash badana rabalahadre venze derebe. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, even through listening, hearing the word and receiving it, I believe you are breaking yokes on the lives of people. If there are people here, Father, who have contracts with mammon, who have contracts with demonic deities of finances, for money, for mammon, oh Lord God. Even as they hear the word and obeyed, Father, break the yokes. Deliver them from those demonic contracts. Deliver them from those demonic yokes that are holding them back from following God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And let them receive the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Which will make them rich with no sorrows, no yokes added to it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Lebarianda. Father, Lord, let your children seek you, Lord, with an open heart, Lord, with clean hands, with a pure heart, that you would encounter them and reveal to them mysteries, even about their life, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, as you reveal to me, Lord, hallelujah, what a pleasure, Lord, oh, Father, it is to seek you, Father. Hallelujah. It kills the flesh and the desires, and it fills us with more of Jesus, with more of you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I give you the glory. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Help us to walk this walk, Lord, focusing on you, Lord, keeping our eyes on you, Jesus. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
People of God.